Stacy.
Hello, Jason.
Hello, how are you this afternoon?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm welcome good. To Thanks Friday.
Yeah. Happy Friday. And good way to end the week and on a positive note by sharing some information that everybody needs to know.
Well, I like the way you look at that. It's a positive note because we're sharing knowledge. And it's not to get panicked and get worried, but the more you know, the better. So it's a good way to look at it. As I admitted there at the beginning, I haven't delved into the subject very deeply, but I have looked at it not to be able to get into what I don't know, so you can help me figure it out. Without giving out your location, you are in Alberta? We can say that?
I am, yep.
Okay. And
Alberta girl through and through for my whole life.
Very good, very good. And you're not going to mention where you work, but can you talk about the industry and maybe give us a little bit of a background that you can share?
Yeah, I do work remotely, and I cover off Canada and have a lot of exposure to, you know, various industries, whether it be mining, oil and gas, pulp and paper, on highway, you know, fleets and whatnot. So I get a lot of exposure, you know, to different things going on globally. The change of hands with companies these days, which is rampant. And then, you know, board members, it's part of my job to kind of watch all of that and pay attention to who the movers and shakers are and who's gobbling up each other during the last couple of years here. So, but yeah, so I get exposure to a lot of different areas and I get to travel around. I'm learning and just listening everywhere I go. And you pick up a lot of great information. And I'm here to give some perspective on some information that I've shared and during my journey.
Well, thank you, Stacy. So when you came across UNDRIP, is that in a professional capacity or is you're interested in it or you noticed it happened in your region and you took note of it? What's your interest of UNDRIP and when did that start?
You bet. You know what? I got to take a little bit of a step back in terms of my life and some things. Like I used to not pay attention to a lot of stuff going on. Love you too, Brenda. didn't pay a lot of attention to things kind of going on, trusted the government, trusted, you know, that we were in good hands and I was busy being a mom and working and trying to have a life and all of that. And, you know, rightfully so, I guess my eyes got opened up during COVID and I started realizing that things felt weird. And I always was taught by my mom to trust my tummy and my intuition and that it would usually lead me in the right direction. And something felt wrong. So I started kind of paying attention and, you know, noticing some different, you know, ways of thinking about different things and it just didn't feel right. And so it started, you know, I'm sure like most of the people that are listening in right now and most of the people globally started kind of paying attention, not enough, but we're growing, but started paying attention to, you know, what's going on around us and that maybe the people that we thought had the best interest at heart might not actually be, and they may be having some influence, you know, that are not going to actually be positive for us, that are impacting like governance and the way that we live. And so I started kind of researching things, paying, you know, great attention to everything. So on the COVID side, and then as you kind of start going down that, you start paying attention to other things and getting exposure from people sharing little tidbits. And then, you know, taking that curiosity and thinking, okay, you know what, there's stuff I don't know. I, you know what, I'm going to learn, I'm going to see, and then trust that gut and go from there. So where, when it comes like to kind of bring it back to UNDRIP, you know, I live and grew up in Alberta, and I was really, you know, I've seen like First Nations firsthand, and I feel a lot of empathy for the living condition in which a lot of the nations live. Mm-hmm. I do have empathy when it comes to the situation, but as you start to understand like how a lot of it works, it's not undifferent than how our government works. And there's a lot of corruption, and there's a lot of agendas in the back end that are being played out. There's a lot of people that are padding their pockets based on, you know, enterprises or businesses they've got on the side. And, you know, you think that all this stuff is illegal, but it is, but nobody's actually actively monitoring it. So when it comes to the nations, like I know that there's, you know, situations where, you know, the people are, they're at the mercy of their council and their chiefs. And if you have corruption, which, you know, sadly, people get corrupted by wanting to have, you know, the greed of a lifestyle of a baller.
sure.
You know, somebody that you know, they make decisions that aren't in the best interest necessarily for the people and for you know, the group as a whole. And so I grew up, I've got a lot of information, or like not information, but I've got exposure to, you know, living around First Nation communities, renting properties that I had in Saskatchewan to a lot of people from First Nation communities there, and getting to know them just as people and understanding their stories and whatnot. And so I am compassionate, but I also know that there's a lot of hatred that's been being bred into a lot of the youth and the older generation through agendas that are basically trying to use them and feed hatred and anger towards the white colonizers that have come to the different areas across the globe. So UNDRIP, so when I kind of started paying attention, and it was just like in January, because I happened to be at a forum in British Columbia where Premier B was actually unveiled it and announced it, and had the chiefs from some of the First Nation, the significant First Nations that are out in British Columbia there in attendance. And you know, to most of the corporate attendees that would be there, if they, you know, believe that it, you know, the kind of agenda that's out there, that everybody has, you know, harmed Indigenous people, then, and we need to empower them, then they would think that this is a really great thing that we're doing. And I think that some of it is actually great. And from, you know, if you go onto the United Nations website and you read the United Nations Declaration for the Rights of Indigenous People, it sounds pretty great. And it sounds sure. Like, okay, so what's wrong with it, right? Like, this sounds all fluffy, and we're going to, you know, treat everybody with respect, and we're going to, you know, make sure that we're operating together and help, like, the historical Indigenous of the land, like, be stewards of our land and protect it. So that's
for sure. Like,
yeah.
When you're going to market your product, it's going to look great, because that's a first lesson of marketing, is your packaging. And even with McDonald's commercials, you got your Big Macs look wonderful until you actually got one. It's all about packaging. So this is old school marketing, but yeah, continue.
Yeah. No, it is. That's a great way to kind of, yeah, it is. It's like, get the masses to see that it looks lovely and it sounds lovely, but there is an agenda behind it. So any of the organizations that are doing business in Canada right now, when you're bidding on tenders, if you have an Indigenous arm to your business, so if you are owned by an Indigenous organization, or if you are have inclusion built in, you will rank higher in the bidding process and you will have a higher chance of getting that work. So, you know, if, you know, I think that there's some really good things to take from that, because it essentially would help if, you know, there's percentages of Indigenous people that need to be hired on to, job sites, for example, then that's great. And if it helps, you know, some entrepreneurs and business owners start up and it generates income for the nations, great. But if it is adding additional cost and the nations aren't seeing that ripple into their communities to actually foster a better living environment, which I think ultimately potentially can't happen, then there's some concerns right there, because it just takes, it will take cost up, because there will be additional charges and whatnot that are potentially implicated by that. So when it comes down to why I'm concerned about it. So as I started going down the path and trying to understand, okay, well, what does this mean? What does this mean to me living in Alberta? And I've worked my whole life since I was a paper carrier deliverer when I was 12.
And, well, we won't ask for the newspaper, but.
Yeah, that shows how old I am. But being a, like, you know, a, working my whole life, I obviously am really proud of what I've accomplished and what I have, and I'm trying to build a future for my kids, which all of us, I think, try to do. And I am concerned about an organization that has a global agenda that is, you will own nothing and you'll be happy.
Sure. Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. So now, where it comes to UNDRA, now, started digging into it after I was at that event and wanted to understand what it was. So read the documentation on the United Nations website. Then I went to see from a perspective of Canada, you know, where we were at with this. So then this kind of rolls into a whole bunch of other areas where there is a ton of money that has been spent, you know, in the education systems, whether that be from elementary school to university. So government grants that have gone into, you know, creating content and the story, I guess, the narrative behind the UNDRIP evolution. So when you see the money that has gone into the universities, into the education system, and you go to the corporations, and you see how, like, the corporations are even tying all of it in together, then it takes you down some other paths of, okay, well, how is this all, you know, what's the end game here? What are they going to do with this? Why is the government, you know, so focused on Indigenous content in all of our media right now? Right. And that always makes, you know, me a little bit nervous, right? In the mainstream media, whenever it's like, there's so much put into it, there's always an agenda behind it. So the reason I'm doing this research, that's a lot of stuff. I'm like,
yeah. So to set the stage for everybody, a couple years ago, you kind of got wind of it during COVID. No, not got wind of it, but during COVID, your radar started to go off. Things aren't right. Yep. Your gut is telling you things are wonky. You went to this conference, and I think you said in January of this year?
Yeah, January of this year.
Yeah.
In British Columbia.
Andrew.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Now, this subject's been around for at least 10 years or so, because one thing we spoke about before this was that Keith Wilson's been ringing this bell for at least 10 years, you were saying?
Yep. There's a really great video on YouTube with Keith, and he was trying to sound the alarm about 10, 11 years ago. I think there's two different videos out there. It's on YouTube, and if you just search up Alberta Land Stewardship Act, you'll get some hits on there. There's one individual, like one fellow, that he's trying to defend it. And then there's Keith's concerns, and his concerns are very, very rational and real. And at the time when it was, brought in, if you read the very first, the way it was written at the very beginning, it's morphed, it's changed. The Alberta Land Stewardship Act, which falls under the provincial government, it's got some really kind of powerful legal arms to expropriate land. And so when you start kind of reading it, and I'm not a lawyer, I was reading through it as a person, a non-lawyer person, non-legal advised person. And the things that, Keith called out, I could see too right away. There's some really great, videos as well, on advocates for UNDRIP, where they're even calling out the way that it's worded and written, that it is a very divisive wording and tool that could be used in many different ways. And that was, there's on YouTube, there's the Mackenzie Laurier Institute. There's an explanation of UNDRIP. Okay. And it's long, but it's a really good video. And it explains, why even the nations are concerned about it, because they only took a couple groups into consideration when they drafted it and adopted it for Canada.
Okay, so there's even critics amongst people that would normally be advocates for it because of the broad wording of it. Okay, yep. And that's because their original, and I'm just speculating here, but their original intent was for Indigenous people and help them with the land, and this is really the cover for it. But it's too broad, is what you're saying. And even they are saying it's too broad because it could be applied anywhere.
Well, I think some of the warranted fear that comes out of this is if they have been actively following how it's been ruled out across the globe. They're trying it it's the same kind of principle as COVID. So and the different tactics that were taken in different countries, and that, see what happens here if we do this, and see what happens there if we do that. And so it's the exact same kind of measure. So they rolled it out in Brazil, and now there's riots from the Indigenous people because their treaties became null and void, as I understand it. So they signed up for it. It sounded wonderful, and it's not. Then we've got, examples of like South Africa, and one of my best friends is from South Africa, and they had to flee because we've essentially got reverse apartheid there, because the hatred towards the colonizers was so massive and extreme that they almost created this angst and division and animosity between everybody versus working together. They created this hatred. And now we've got that reverse kind of apartheid kind of happening there, and people are fleeing the country, and if their skin is white, and it's kind of scary. It's not good. Australia just shut it down. About 3 weeks ago, they had a referendum because Australians were all over it. They knew what was coming. They were paying attention very closely. They named it the Voice campaign was the pro, and then the no campaign was against it. So they were able to shut it down with a referendum, and that was like 67% people voted down that in Australia. So it's being rolled out globally. They're trying different things in different countries. In Canada, the way that they're trying it, in British Columbia and the territories, they're actually naming it. They're calling it UNDRIP. It's going by name. But that makes sense based on the population of Indigenous people that are up there and the way that it is marketed. Alberta, it's the Alberta Land Stewardship Act. In Saskatchewan and the other provinces, from what I can see, it's under the guise of stewardship and sustainability.
All right. And we've seen these patterns before where they're different names as well. How far along are we in Alberta, and is BC furthest along in Canada?
So BC jumped the gun and they wanted to get on it as fast as they could. And so it has caused tension because also the people that created the documentation for Canada didn't realize that not all provinces have hereditary chiefs. So the way that they've kind of worded it and the way that they were executing it, there's so many gray areas that it's causing strife, like amongst you know, government and then the Indigenous and then the people that live there already. So in Alberta, so as I started kind of doing a dig here, because I live near a lake, and all of this is under the guise of land stewardship. And so if your lake is, and majority of the Alberta lakes, they have blue-green algae. It is what it is. Like, that's something that happens. If your lake is a little bit warmer, or if you've got too many nutrients that go into it, then that occurs. However, there in sustainability reports that have been created, already, they call out that, you know, the areas that have lakes that have potential fishing under the Fisheries Act issues, or things that, like, people around it are living around it cause it to be unstable, then the stewards are going to need to come in and basically fix the land. And that's the fear that I have. I chose to leave the city because I didn't want to live in the city, as I was watching all the cameras go up, and I don't want to live in that environment. So I chose to live where I live. And so I am protective of the decision that I made, and I do what I need to be a good steward of the land. And but this is getting put into place and getting written into bylaws across every municipality, every village in Alberta right now. So it's orchestrated. I have done the homework to understand the back end of it. The people right now that are implementing the land or the bylaw changes, like to implement the Land Stewardship Act into our bylaws, they've been hired as consultants. Mm-hmm. So I did the you know, research on the consultants as individual peoples and found out.
There you go. Oh, well done.
Yep. Well, you have to. Like, that's the world we live in right now. And they were all educated at Dalhousie University.
So a common meeting point there for the information, so, at least.
There really is. And so they have been educated at Dalhousie, but then there's old money and government grants that get fed out to the different universities. University of Alberta and Calgary are two big ones, and Saskatchewan. And they, but Dalhousie specifically, as I kind of went down that rabbit hole. I guess, found letter from Klaus Schwab between the president of Dalhousie and Klaus himself, outlining, back in 1998, these Treaties 21, event that they were, coordinating for the universities. And So it's they're teaching the students and indoctrinating them to roll out the mission. And so this is like the amount of people, the amount of hits that are and influencers on the WEF is huge. There was like, I think 12 people that are WEF contributors from Dalhousie. So
I can see why you're anonymous now, Stacey. Right. So you're now, do you have a wall that has all the red string and stuff? Cause you're finding all these connections. Like how are you spending the time?
I have a book. Yes.
Well, you can't show me. It's exhausting. Camera, but yeah. You're doing the research for us. This is what Canadians should be doing. So I appreciate you sharing this with us. You forwarded a PDF over to Paula, Summer Village of Crystal Springs. Is this where you're talking about where the bylaws are being put in place or kind of
everywhere? Everywhere. That's
can we pull this up and take a look at it?
No. Can we? That actually, well, Jason, you just gave away
a location. So that's happening, and then you have Dalhousie.
It's everywhere. Yeah. I went to the county, some county meetings. I've gone to the different lake meetings. I've gone onto the websites for areas like Spruce Grove and Red Deer and Thorhild and Westlock.
Yellowhead and too? A Yellowhead
everywhere. Yes.
Paper. Oh no, not Yellowhead. Come on. Yes. Oh my gosh.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm going to jump to this question. Any regions in Alberta and Canada that are pushing back, like they're already had the game to push back on this, anywhere that we're having that?
So this is the thing, like obviously Thorhild pushed back and they were successful because they were like, what the heck is going on? And they kind of opened up their eyes. So that was one area, but a lot of people haven't been paying attention. They're paying attention to the war. And they're paying attention to the news, but they're not paying attention to what's happening right here in our own province. And when you go and you talk, like, I've spoke to the Reeves. I've tried to reach out to, I've gone to the federal roundtables. I haven't been able to go to our provincial federal or our provincial roundtable yet, but I've been going to all the roundtable that I can and asking people, you know, if they know about this, and a lot don't. You find all the tidbits together, and I know that people are piecing it because I joined a group that's the bylaw watchdogs, and some really great information. Grand Prairie's going through it. Like literally everybody is going through this right now because they need to write it into the bylaw so they can expropriate the land if they the land use bylaw that all of this is based on is actually, so there's the organization, the two people that wrote the document that it's based on. Well, there was three authors actually. Both are for, you know, sustainable energy and the green agenda. And then the one fellow, he is actually a member of the international, what are they called? The International Institute for Sustainable Development. So when you go down that rabbit hole and you look who's backing all of that, it's old money, like grant money. Mm-hmm. It is the Gordon Foundation, which is a First Nation foundation. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. We know that Mr. Gates is looking for a whole bunch of land and is continually buying up land everywhere. So there's vested interest in this, this movement.
Yeah, and I see this letter to Dalhousie now too from Schwab. Hey, at least we got a signature now.
Right?
Yeah, there we go. We got a signature. Okay, now let's zoom out a little bit now. So we're talking about the West, BC, Alberta, Canada. So Bill C-15, and I believe someone else mentioned there's another bill that's related to UNDRIP as well in our chat. I'm looking at some of the history of this. So UNDRIP was, Canada was first kind of, they didn't get involved, but they started looking at it in 2007, and then that changed in 2010. So this was under conservative government then. This would have been Harper in 2010.
You got it.
Yeah. So that's always fun.
Seeing that clearly.
Yep. Yep. And this would have been around some of his early hits with the WEF as well, 2010.
Yeah.
And it looks like here in 2016.
Ed Stelmach in Alberta. It was under Ed Stelmach in Alberta. He's the who brought in the Alberta Land Stewardship Act. We're thinking like the feds or like the liberals like under Trudeau are the bad guys and the only ones connected to the to the West. No, that's not the case.
No, conservative teed it up for them. Is what it looks like here. They just got it ready for them. And now we're trying to pass Bill C-15. It's the third attempt at the parliament. So we had two other times in 2014 and 2019. Didn't pass. So that would have been a liberal 2019. That was a liberal minority. So there's at least some resistance there. Where are we at with it now? Do you know if we're still in a reading?
No, it's been adopted. It has been adopted. So the interesting thing when I...
2016, okay, there we go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fully endorsed UNDRIP commitment. Wow. Well, sorry, I really dropped the ball on this one. This is one of the ones I didn't look into.
It's all good. Yeah. Hey, we all got to look out for each other. This is a community thing where we have to all, we can't be everything to everybody. So we all have to have people kind of looking on the swivel. Like we can't let our guard down right now.
Okay. So in Canada, we've now implemented it. BC is doing it, municipal levels. Now everyone is doing it. Now, what stage are we at? Are we fully implemented or are we municipal?
Some have adopted it. Some haven't paid attention and they're just writing it in and they've been able to pass it. And then, they're trying to, like where I live right now, we're at our second reading. So that's when I was like, holy crap. Like they're going for it right now. And I got to try and get people to pay attention. And that's when I reached out to you and said, like, help. I need to get this out here. I need people to know what's happening. I need them to pay attention. We need to have better conversations. I went to a roundtable with Mike Lake. When I asked him about UNDRIP, he said, you know, we decided as a party that through UNDRIP Pierre that we're not going to support it. I said, well, that's funny. I said, I was in BC and it's launched and it's going. And he acted like he was surprised, but now that after I did kind of the sleuthing, I guess, to figure out who brought this all in the first place, and I saw that it was Harper, and then I watched some of the TED Talks, because that's another propaganda station. Like TED Talks and Gaia, that is propaganda for all of this movement to brainwash people. And now they use like Neil deGrasse Tyson on some other YouTube science thing to try and make science fun and cool and whatever. But they're using all these different platforms to kind of promote their agenda. And so when you watch some of the TED Talk, like, I watched Mike Lake's TED Talk and it's promoting the UN sustainability agenda. And that's all feeds back to UNDRIP. Sustainability, stewardship, UNDRIP, all connected.
NDP supports it, Liberal supports it, and CPC supports it. What hope
you
do we have?
Then?
Okay, so right? Awareness and help. So you said I reached out because I need help. I can help with awareness. We can get this information out and get people to understand it a bit more. What's the end goal? First, we'll start in Canada and then globally. Is Canada's end goal to just work with the global desire? And is the global end goal to have the ownership of property transferred? Like, what's going on here?
Well, here's, okay, So I wish that I had my camera on, because for Halloween, I made myself out of my hard hat, a conspiracy helmet with my tinfoil and my googly eyes.
Nice.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, well, let's put that on for a little bit, and let's try and figure out why this is happening.
Yeah. Well, so this is my opinion. Why?
Picturing that hat, by the way, the hard hat.
Thanks. It's pretty cool.
Is it yellow or white?
I made a lot of people laugh. Well, it's actually tinfoil now. It was white, but now it's tinfoil.
All right. I got the visual now.
Yeah, there you go. So why? The why. I feel like the why is they want to push us into the cities. So they want the farmland, especially Saskatchewan and Alberta, because it's nice, big, wide open spaces. It is a perfect scenario for solar and wind farms and carbon capture facilities and like direct air capture. That's what you need for that kind of. So they like Alberta and Saskatchewan, they have been identified to be that land. And so if they can get us and push us back into the cities where they're all going to be interconnected with their electric grid and everything's electrified, right? That's the end game. So it's, if you can, claim that the land needs saving, mm-hmm. and there's a bunch of different reasons that there's not a list of it. That's the other interesting thing. There's no list of what the stewardship is necessarily going to look like. But if you can claim that the lake needs saving and we can't have people around it, or we can't have cows around it and whatever, then we need to expropriate that land. You have 90 days and here's your money. You go find a place in the city to live, because and it will be an initiative that hands all the land back to the crown. The overseers of Alberta Land Stewardship is the Governor General.
Okay.
So the Governor General has
the King's representative.
You got it. So it's veto power. Is the Governor General. And then the people, though, that are going to be implementing all the stewardship, so there's going to be exorbitant costs, there's going to be exorbitant fines associated, if there is anything. And then, in our area, they're writing into the bylaws, like imprisonment is the fine. If you don't pay any of the fines, it's imprisonment.
In the city, in a 15-minute city, is that the imprisonment?
No, this is like...
That's really scary. You can put me there. I'll be scared. I don't want to go there.
No, me neither. But if you don't pay the fines, it's imprisonment and expropriation of land. So, I think that's the end game, is to get all of the land back. But the government isn't going to be the bad guy then, right? It'll be under stewardship. So they're trying to do a positive spin on it. And then transfer the land back to the crown, basically. So, and then we'll all be pushed into the cities, and then the crown will have the land. And so, the crown, like being the king, right? He is obviously, he's at all of the WEF meetings. He's at, United Nations conferences and all of that, right? So,
yeah. Now, don't think of the land just on the surface, though. There's also below the land, the surface, so mineral rights and stuff like that, and then the air rights above it. So land is more than just what you can plant on. It's above and below as well. So you think they're trying to get the people out, they're trying to get the resources, and they're trying to move people towards the city.
Yeah.
And let me try and think of some other reasons why they might be doing this. Because I know they're going after water as well. And they've already started the narrative that people who use wells are responsible for the wobble of the earth. Did you catch all that?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you heard that one? That we're responsible? Well,
then they can put the smart meter on. And then they can determine, they can get in power, they can shut you down, and they can ration you. Like, this is all going to come down to carbon rations at the end of the day. Like, it's not going to be money. You're going to walk into a grocery store and you're going to have your carbon ration on your smartwatch. And it will be, if you buy a steak, your carbon ration's 50 emissions. And if you get a salad, it's 5. And that's where that's going to go. So that's a whole other conversation, but that's where it's going.
So I did notice a colonizer. You used that word a few times, and that is a word that we see into the culture recently. So this is where you're talking about where they're bringing in this material. Is that specifically the word they're using a lot? They're trying to separate us and divide us on the colonizer level or the colonizer line?
Yep.
Well, where does that put
there's an entire campaign. Well, there's an entire campaign. I was in South Africa in April at something where I was learning about mining. So, there's like visual campaigns showing all of these like stories, and it's all by the UN agenda of colonizers and their negative impact. And then the children, like books in universities or even in schools. So when our kids go to school, they don't sing O Canada anymore. They do the Land Acknowledgement Act. And
sorry, what?
Yeah.
So what is that?
The land acknowledgement. So when the kids are in school, they start their day by saying, you know, I acknowledge that I'm on treaty, whatever, and they do a land acknowledgement. Yeah.
Hey, people at chat, are you aware of this? So you're not pledging allegiance to a flag if you're American. You're not saying, oh, Canada. You're not even doing God Save the King. You are acknowledging that you're standing on somebody else's land?
Yes.
Oh, wow. When did that come into the schools? I'm not aware of that because we homeschool.
Oh, I actually can't say. I don't know when that started coming in. But every time, like even for corporate meetings, if we have a big meeting, we have to do the land acknowledgement right at the start and then finish it. We have to pay an Indigenous person to come in and to open and close the meeting and say that we're on the land. And so that's what I'm fighting back. And I'm saying, you know what? There was 200, like in the 1600s, when the settlers came here, there was approximately 200,000 First Nation people, including the people up in the territories, right? And so that's the size of Red Deer. So now the narrative is that all of North America is called Turtle Island. And you'll start to see First Nation people wearing Turtle Island. And if they are, then the part that scares me behind all of this is that the language and the narrative is very, very aggressive. And it is very much get the F off our land and you are a guest here, leave. And if you don't like it, leave. And so there is like in our schools, like, and we've got 4 kids and so, and some that have gone through university. And so the indoctrination, I guess, of the mindset that we should feel shameful for who we are and that we did horrible things and that they should feel shame for who they are, as white people living here in Canada, that settled here, it goes against all these hate rules that they're trying to place right now. It's gross, and they are actively promoting hatred against white people and settlers and the colonizers. And that's what all of the language is about, colonizers. So if you search up land back, so there's a hashtag and you follow that. So it's hashtag land back, and then the other hashtag is UNDRIP. You're going to get a whole bunch of different perspectives. And I basically I watch Apache Television Network just so I can see the narrative that is being, and it's different than even mainstream media. Like it just blows your mind, the different stories that are out there, but you can start to put it all together and it helps you clearly see, like, you know, what's going on, I guess.
Okay. Oh, yeah,
I just saw a note from Krista there. She said that on old maps there was Turtle Island. So maybe, sorry, Krista, I maybe didn't know that. And it's easy to miss some of the stuff. I had never heard it before. And obviously I don't spend all my time sleuthing, but I try and find as much as I can. So
this is really interesting. I'm starting to go through. So I was checking out land back. So yeah, it's an initiative from the indigenous side, basically saying they're getting their land back. Is that kind of where that's headed?
Yeah.
All right. So this is a decolonization. Are the people supposed to leave, you think, long term, or go to the cities? And are cities are going to be considered part of that land as well? Or are they special little islands?
No, because they're starting to set up urban reserves. So... And this is everywhere. The part where this is like they're setting up urban reserves and they're putting land into urban reserves so that, you know, people that don't want to live on the set out reserves, like they can live like in the cities, right? And still get the funds that they get from the government, right? Because they're not taxed like we're taxed. Many of the, like, they don't own their own homes. I don't know. A lot of people didn't even realize this, like on First Nations, like, and I don't know if it's all of the nations, but a lot of them, they don't own their own homes. It's all owned by CMHC. Mm-hmm. And so it's like a money, it's a profit. It's like the government is still like, I think like ultimately, like if UNDRIP was to be rolled out, like the government should just leave them alone and let them do what they want to do on their land. And when I say their land, like the reserves, we all have to live here together. Like, and if they want to expand and buy some more land and buy it like we do, great, do it. I am not opposed to that. And there's so many cool things you can learn from First Nations about the land and how we can use healing powers instead of pharmaceuticals and hunting is a great thing. Like there's so many good things, but I feel like they're being used as they're showing them or they're making them feel empowered right now, but essentially they're going to be the bad guys that could unleash a civil war in our country.
And yeah, it wouldn't be the first time.
Pretty cool.
No doubt. I don't think it'd be the first time a marginalized group is used in order to attack a larger group. It wouldn't be the first time that happened. We see this all the time. 1% of people might identify as transgender, but we all have to change our society for it. So it's not the first time a smaller group is. I'm going to say used because they're not doing this for them. They're just being used.
They're using them. And it's crappy. But a lot of times the chiefs, like I've had business interactions with some of the chiefs and it was not like we decided to walk from it like in a previous life because it was you make sure you give me this and the band gets this. Like the corruption, like, and it's not indifferent than how our government's working right now too. Like, so corruption's everywhere, but if there's no accountability and visibility to everybody on money, which we sadly need to live, like, and where the funds go, like, it's just, it's kind of sad. Frustrating.
Now I'm zooming out a little bit more here trying to figure out why the globalists even care. It might be to move us, it might be to take resources, but it also looks like there's a challenge or Bill C-15 has something called a free, prior, and informed consent, which allows projects to be shut down if they don't have indigenous groups permission. So pipelines or anything to do with the land, they can use this to shut it down. So maybe they're doing 4 or 5D chess here. It's more than just gaining ownership or control, but it's also to shut down major infrastructure projects, for example, pipelines. Any comments on that?
Or on the reverse, push it through.
Which project or infrastructure project would they want to push through?
There could be some pretty big projects that are coming that they want to push through. And
camps type of thing, or
there's which a hat lot you of have really... on right now.
can we put that hard hat back on or what?
Yeah, you might have to put the hard hat. No, like, but there's a lot of there's a lot of exciting things that are happening in Canada right now, like the LNG plant, right? And mm-hmm. that's in Kitimat. And you know, that had pipeline that was going through First Nations land, and there was all that you know, the turmoil at the Wet'suwen'en reserve there. But that was again, like, outside influence that was also trying to stall out the job to you know, there's different perspectives on that, but that's you know, either funds, more funding, and which they did end up getting a whole bunch more funding. But then it's also so if you think about it from a corporate standpoint, like, if you want to do business in Canada, and I get it, like the way that Danielle Smith talks about it, when she talks about, like, trying to remove some of the barriers for doing business and having more projects here. If you have to get approval from every single group of different people to make a project go, that makes investors shy away from investing here, right? Because the cost is exorbitant if things go sideways and you put all your money in, and then all of a sudden you've got a couple First Nations that block it. So I think on the opposite side, if there's unity across all of the nations to agree or disagree, then that can push projects through faster as well. So they could stop it, or they can also make it go through, right?
It puts all the
but
power.
But that's ultimate power. Like, they've got then the ultimate power. And like, in Alberta, like, they're setting up government right now. Like, the Métis government is being set up, and they're putting people, like, our government's paying for everybody to get trained and going to government courses in Ottawa and training and setting up their own governance and their own like, infrastructure, basically. So there's a huge amount of initiative, because that's also written into that Alberta Land Stewardship Act, is like that they need to, that's written into the UNDRIP, is their ability to self-govern. And but the Canadian taxpayers, like, we are paying for all of it, right? And so it comes down to that old adage, like, the way that it's structured, like, we are continually paying taxes that go and support the First Nations, and they are benefiting all the time from it, but not all the people are benefiting. And that's the part that's super frustrating behind all of it, because, you know, the complaint about clean water, well, I live at a place, I got a well drilled, and it was, you know, say $8,000. Like, you can do it. And there's lots of money that's given out. But there's settlement claims all over the place right now. Enoch has one. Like, and they're right beside the city. What excuse is there for not having water infrastructure? Like, and we're paying out huge settlements there behind it? Like, I don't know. There's a whole bunch of interesting things happening, but it's all First Nations, is all a whole bunch of funds.
That was interesting. There's a comment that was put on the screen there about Danielle Smith. Pat, you can bring that back up. Danielle Smith openly talks about utilizing UNDRIP to build a transportation corridor to Churchill. What does that tell you? Live to fish. Oh, you just broke my heart. Because I was excited about the corridor to Churchill so that we can get oil and gas out. But if it's utilizing UNDRIP, I'm certainly not excited about that one right away. Freeland not too long ago was in Alberta talking about caribou migration in northern Alberta.
There you go.
Here we go. So they're like, okay, well, there's a migration path for caribou, therefore we need to take the land. Is that UNDRIP?
Yes.
Oh, they, so we're connecting all the dots here. Was she in the elevator at the time? Was that when she was down for that one?
That was not me. Sorry.
No, Freeland, when she was here and she got caught in the elevator.
Yes, when she got caught in the elevator and got called a bad name that hurt her feeling, but yeah.
Yeah. And then I guess maybe she was speeding away not too long ago from the caribou. Maybe that she was caught going 130 or something. the caribou were coming. Poor Canada. Okay, so how do we start getting people to be more aware of this? This show is just a start. But if Keith Wilson's been doing it for 10 years, and I saw a picture, the thumbnail from YouTube, he looks young in that photo. So
right?
He's absolutely been at this for a while.
Yep.
Yeah, so if he's been beating the drum for a while and we're still moving ahead and doing it on a municipal level, yeah, what do we need to do? We need to get together? Do we need to educate Indigenous people as well? Like, where do we need to go with this?
That's what I think we need to have, because, like, I think they're going to position it so that we're against each other. And I think that they're going to, make us, like, fight amongst each other and I just think that that's going to be really bad for everybody, because people I've talked to, they're, you know, well, I'll get my gun out and they try and come for my land. Right. And that is essentially, like, in South Africa, like, literally there are old men sitting on their porches with their shotguns ready to shoot people. Like, and call me crazy, but I think that could be something that plays out here. And I think that would be really awful. But the anger that's behind the land back movement, and there's a mixed bag of people that are being very pragmatic and very political and trying to make everything very positive. And then you get the other side where it's like, yeah, we're going to kick you off. And it's anger. And it's like, very, very aggressive, like, language, right? And I think that's just going to hurt everybody. But if we're up against years and years and years of programming, like, it's been programmed into our kids through school that, like, that we're bad and that we did bad things here. And sure, there's crappy things that happen, like, we're not going to deny that, like, you know, not being able to speak your language or whatever, like, sexual abuse, that happens to everybody too, though. And a lot of people, like, that's a whole other topic. Sorry. I'm going, like,
no problem.
I'm morphing a little bit all over, but,
don't worry. So am I, because now I'm on guns in my head, because now I was concerned they're trying to take our guns away to stop us from fighting against the government, but maybe it's to fight against the Indigenous. They are disarming us for that.
Well, I think, like, the big thing is conversations. Like, so I saw somebody made a comment about Rick Wilson. And he's a fellow that's in our area, and I've been advised that he's not for UNDRIP. However, the Alberta Land Stewardship Act is being passed right under his nose. So if you, and I went to a municipal, like, a county meeting where they were talking about this planning, and all of these planners as well are not from Canada. They're from United States or India. And
all these consultants?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? I was at one not too long ago. Oh my gosh, you just made me realize. I was at a Drayton Valley economic business meeting, and you're not wrong. It was an American consultant that came in to tell them how to divvy up their business land and industrial land and how to prepare it for investment. It was an interesting meeting, but you're right. It was a U.S. consultant that came in for that.
Yes. Yeah. It's not people from here that are
that need to live here.
Yeah. Okay, you asked me a question right before that, and I'm sorry.
I think I forgot the question, to be honest with you.
Yay! Okay.
Yeah, it's a quick answer then, but I'm sure it'll come back to me because it had to do with Alberta. Anyways, no, we'll continue.
I do remember. But that's the challenge, is that when you go and you talk to our, because it was brought in by Ed Stelmach in Alberta. And so that's a PC, like that's conservative, right? And so now we've got Rick in our area, and he does say that he doesn't support it, but then on the flip side, he is supporting it, because if he doesn't know that what's going on, especially with people like Keith that have been calling it out for years, then he's not doing his job and he's not paying attention to what is truly going on. And we need them to have like town halls where we talk about it, and transparency is out there. Like, there's a lot of things that are just kind of being slipped under the rug right now, like sanctuary cities. Like, there's specific cities that are being named sanctuary cities in Canada right now.
Which ones? Edmonton one of them?
Interesting enough, Wetaskiwin is one. There's a whole bunch that are on the list, and they're identified for UN immigrants to come in. And these immigrants are getting paid $2,200 a month right now by the United Nations to come here.
So United Nations have a fund that's funding immigrants to come to Canada?
Yes.
Well, it's cold here. Maybe that's the cold incentive. Where's my $2,200? Yeah. I need it. Oh my gosh. Not trying to make light of this, but I'm still digesting this because some of this is really new
to me. It's a lot. I know.
Yeah, because there's a lot of things that are connecting to me now. I had a conversation not too long ago with somebody that I understood how they were going to convince people in the cities how to give up their property and own nothing and be happy. I could understand it through resource management and dependence. You become a dependent when you're in a city. You need the grocery store. But when you're rural, you just grow your own. So I was wondering, how are they going to get you and me when we're doing our own gardens, we're doing our own wells, we're doing our own septic? This is how they reclassify our land, give it back to a tribe, tell the tribe that we are squatters on their land. And because we have no guns left, because they took those away, we would get run away. We get chased off, just like in South Africa. That's got me worried. So right now I'm going through my head wondering, oh my gosh, right when I thought we were good because we staked our claim for some land, before I know it, my neighbors may come try and take it. Not try and take it, be given it. In fact, they have a hashtag called land back. Interesting.
And the thing I think that we all want to avoid is violence. And I think,
sure, but like, this is setting it up for both sides. They're going to get me violent to protect my land, and they're going to get the other side violent to reclaim the land, and then they're going to sit back and watch us do that.
Yes.
And I have no weapons anymore. And in Alberta, you can't even have bulletproof vests. And like, they're setting us up to be squishy targets without weapons. This is all just coming back to me now as you're talking, because the dots are being connected. Oh my. And of course, go ahead.
That's the hardest part, is connecting the dots, because when you start looking at it and you're wide open, your eyes are wide open, like you start to see the language that's consistent, and then you can start to see how big this is. So it's government, so it's federal government, it's provincial government, and so where do we try and stop it? We try and stop it at, from a provincial government standpoint, where we push back on to our provincial government and say, you know what, we're not okay with this. This isn't in the best interest of Canadians. So let's look at Canadians as like an inclusive group, where it's the people that are here, are Indigenous folks, and we are together, and then go from build from there. And then we need to take some of the gaps that, you know, First Nation people are putting out there, and make sure that the other nations are aware of it, and they're not just buying into, you know, the whole movement of behind the land back, which is funded by other organizations. It's not just there's big money going into it, and it's coordinated efforts everywhere. So
now on the corporate level, coordinated effort there, they're teaming up with, you need an Indigenous group to get a certain score. And is this the SDG score that they're using here for that?
ESG, yeah. So the ESG, yeah. Yeah. So if you have that environment, social governance, and so it all goes back to that, right? So it's pushing that agenda, pushing that narrative. You need to have like the diversity, equity, inclusion, and which is now actually, they just morphed that name and they're calling it JEDI.
JEDI now? So, okay.
JEDI mean? Yeah. JEDI is justice, equity, diversity, inclusion, but they'll say that it's something else, but you can actually track it backwards, and it's DE&I. It's, yeah, diversity, equity, inclusion. And it sounds lovely, but it's sure, actually ripping everybody words. Apart because they're using the very, very small minority against majority, and trying to create these divisive kind of places like Gaza, like where you've got like two different groups of people and they can't function because they, you know, it's a fight for land.
Well, this is the ultimate one because they just divided up against people who are currently on the land and then the people who previously owned the land. And yeah. That's everywhere. So everywhere on earth, you're going to find that story where there is a native group and the current group that claim ownership of it. Everywhere. Okay, so you talked about Australia. They voted it down 2-3 in a referendum. So in Australia, what do you think that's going to mean? Does that mean it's sincerely going to be thrown out, or is this going to be like a Brexit where it takes forever to actually do it and they keep fighting against it? Where do you think that's headed? Because we kind of need a model to follow or create our own to get out of this. Is it possible?
Well, I think we're going to, I think the challenge is we have to create our own. And this is why this is so brilliantly executed by the bad guys, because they've thought of every angle and they've incorporated it into every facet of life. And so people that want to earn an income, they got to toe the line and go through the indoctrination at work of the programming that the kids are going through in school. They're educating our kids and the planners that are going to roll this all out. They're doing things like country by country and essentially learning as they go what worked, what didn't work, and then trying something different and executing different so that people can't put the pieces together. It makes it just so hard, right? Unless you're focused on it and finding those pieces as it comes together, right? I think we have to in like in Australia, I know what that's going to look like for them? No. Do I think that they're going to stop? No. They just launched Equity Moonshot, like hashtag Equity Moonshot. And that means they're going for it. They got 2 years to come at us and make everything real. And they're going to come at us at all angles. So this will be UNDRIP. This will be another pandemic. It will be a cyber attack. And it's going to be some sort of massive environmental catastrophe. So...
Or perceived or threatened environment.
Perceived, yeah.
Doesn't have to even be real. It just has to be potential.
Totally.
Do you think the wildfires, again, with the hard hat tinfoil, do you think the wildfires had anything to do with setting us up for evacuating off our land at like any moment?
You got it. Yep. And I happened to be on an airplane.
These dots are connecting again. Oh, no.
I know. Well, I was on an airplane with a fellow, and it was the most uncomfortable airplane ride ever. And there was this one fellow sitting in the middle seat, and I was on the one side, and this other fellow coming in from Seattle to influence Edmonton's planning was sitting, just happened to be sitting in the on the aisle side. And so we ended up in this conversation, guy in the middle. Let me tell you, everybody around us was a little bit on edge, and I'm like, oh shit, they're gonna park this plane and we're gonna all get punted off here. But the fellow in the middle was actually a pilot. And he fights fires from his airplane, and he showed us all the pictures of his airplane. The fellow that was coming from Seattle to influence Edmonton's freaking 15-minute C-40 planning sessions, he couldn't agree with anything that we had to say, and the fellow in the middle got very agitated and said, you know what, and are people, am I allowed to swear on here?
Go ahead, sure.
Okay, well, you just said you're the kind of piece of shit that would does not care about what the future for our kids look like. You think that this is all about environment, and he's like, and you want us locked in your little 15-minute cities. And he was like, he was so mad, he went right at this guy, and he said, yeah, I'm fine with it, and we just need to ride our bikes and blah blah blah. But the fellow that was sitting in the middle, he's a pilot, and he was flying up to Slave Lake. And he was in Kelowna when those fires were going on, and Drayton Valley. And he said, it's pieces of shit like you that work for the government that don't let us go and fight when we see that hot spot and we know we can stop the fire beforehand. He goes, why are you delaying? Why are you making us wait when we know we could have stopped it? He's like, there is no way that West Kelowna should have burnt. No way. Mm. We were calling it out, and you made us sit in our planes. And he was livid. Like, it was very, very uncomfortable flight, let me tell you. But
it's pretty amazing how the three of you came together like that.
You know what, Jason? It's a blessing and a curse. But I now know, like, I'm here for a reason, and I'm here to be a voice. And we have four kids, and I am not going to go down. My grandpa fought in the Second World War, and the bad guys can't win. They can't. And I get visibility to certain things that most people don't. And I'm not crazy. I'm confident. I know what's happening.
Okay, well, here's some pie in the sky, let's just throw it out there type of ideas.
Yeah.
Last few weeks or so, people have been talking that we need a new Constitution Convention. We need a Constitution Convention. We need to redo it because the Charter is being abused. Nobody seems to respect it anymore, including the Crown. And people don't have the power that they should have. So there's a conversation coast to coast about getting a bunch of independents together, getting Canada excited about opening up a Constitution Convention. If that was to happen, this would be on the table. This particular issue would be on the table so that we can put it to bed for Indigenous, First Nations, everybody, because we all have to live together and make this happen. I'm trying to think of quick ways to deal with this. And if we did have a Constitution Convention in the next, say, 5 years or so, this would be an issue that could allow Canada to come up with a new model to readdress what the UN is trying to do here. Just like anything else, there's always some good things, and you want to try and save those and get rid of the bad. The bad here is the division and trying to get a certain group to believe that they're colonizers, indoctrinate to them, to feel bad about it, and to maybe be submissive and give it all up when the call is made in order for the transition to happen. And I think we need quick movement on that. This is not something that we could take as a single issue and address it in Canada. But if it became part of a bigger issue, like a Constitutional Convention, this may be one of the centerpieces to it, to figure out this issue.
Yep, I agree. And it's very complicated. But I do think it's complicated intentionally as well. When you start looking at all the layers and the challenge, I think, though, that presents ourselves right now is we don't have time. Time is not our friend. And they know that. They know that we don't have the time to respond in uniformity. And even, you know, that Yuval Noah Harari, do you have him in your awareness at all?
No, Harari, did you say?
Yeah, his name's Yuval Noah Harari.
No.
So he's a bad guy, and he's writing children's books, and he wrote a book called Sapiens and then Homo Deus, and it's all about transhumanism, where it's nanoparticles and it's chipping people, and that ties into the 15-minute city. It's ultimate control of humanity. There's numerous agendas at play right now that are happening. And they know that they're going to come at us from every single angle. And they are moving fast. So it's all been planned. It's been planned for years and years and years. And so in terms of the only way that we can shut it down is unity. We need to unite. We need, like you take the truckers convoy and you blow that up. Like you go bigger than that, and it gets big. But the challenge that we have is that there are going to be those people that are like, oh no, we can't, we got to do what's right. And we're just going to will our land over to the First Nations. But they say that, but are they going to actually do it? I don't know.
We'll, so we need to put a monkey wrench into their plans, and we need to go tighten this strip. We need to go fix the strip so it's not happening anymore.
Yeah. So we gotta fix the leak.
So the unity is what I agree with. Anytime that the plan is division, the solution is unity. So we should be reaching out to our neighbors, reaching out to the lawmakers, reaching out to indigenous groups, sitting down and talking to them, finding out where their perspective is and trying to understand how they have a misinterpretation of it. Because most medicine is given with sugar, and you don't realize that maybe it's a poison. It's not even a medicine.
Yeah. Good analogy.
Yeah, well, they always put a little bit of sugar in it to make it good. Hey, lucky for us, it seems to be a sugar shortage in the West, so maybe it's a time to strike.
Perfect.
Yeah, but now I'm thinking about people like Maggie Hope Braun. I'd like to introduce you to her, because she works on a local level, trying to get people to understand how you take back the people's power and leverage it for good. She's highlighting a program called ICLEI, which is something I got to spend a little more time looking into. But this sounds very close to what you're talking about, because this is where the power of the municipalities to rezone and take the land is being done. It's being done at that level. They're giving themselves the power. They're passing it through council, and it's happening everywhere. Yes. Another organization, which you may already be connected with or aware of, is Take Back Alberta. So they may have already this on their radar to see what we can do about this. But maybe take a look at some of the stuff they're doing. And Alberta Prosperity Project. So I don't know if they have this on their radar either. They got so much on the go when it comes to the policies that they recommend. But let's take a look at that one as well. Because these are all the kind of groups, the grassroots groups that are kind of coming together to correct the ship, especially in Alberta. And if we can get Canadians behind a constitution convention, and I keep bringing that word up because you can do a lot if that door becomes open, this could be an issue that we can finally address. Right. I'm worried as an individual who's on a homestead that the plan will be to tell me that my well is no good, the water table is not allowed, or something along those lines. They have to steward my water table, and then they come in and tell me that the wildlife buildup of wood or something along those lines, because we didn't burn during the wildfire, but other places did, These are all reasons that the steward decided that it's uninhabitable now and we have to leave our property. I could see how quickly that could happen. And am I on the right wavelength here? And I don't have
you
a hard
time. You're a quick learner. I like it. You know what? The interesting thing too is like government websites. So when you look at the job postings, they were hiring like so many environmental officers.
Well, that's the answer then. We go and take those jobs and don't perform the work.
There you go. I like it.
All right, let's go take the job, get hired, and just go, your line looks fine. Nothing to do here. Let's go become the stewards.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, well, there's an answer everywhere. I'm really noodling this because I even know that home gardens and small gardens are on their radar as well. In the U.S., they have them registering them. So I could see them saying, because the land you're eating off of it, the steward says it's not good because this bluebird flies through there and you're screwing up the blueberries for them. You need to remove your garden and get out. I could see even things like that happening.
Yes. And that's the dangerous part about it, because like the it's not clearly identified. Like there is some documents I sent you in the link in that one email. I think a really good starting point is to read like how that report that they did based on the land, on the land use bylaw. It's called Disintegrating. It is called Curing Environmental Disintegration. Disintegration. And so
that means taking people off the land. That means putting it back to nature.
Well, yeah. Look at the movies. Okay, here's tinfoil hat. Okay, look at the movies and all of the buffalo that are free roaming everywhere. Look at content that comes out, and it's all about free roaming and kind of what the land would have been like before there's any humans here. That starts feeding into a lot of the movies that are out there. I actually can't watch a movie anymore without seeing the subliminal messaging and seeing like the posters in the backdrop or like the books that are strategically placed. Like, right. I can't watch it anymore without seeing all of it. Right.
Once you see it, you can't unsee it. It's there now.
You can't. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, so you start to see all this imagery that is put into all the movies that are streaming, but it's a great place to see what the agenda is, because if you can see, you see it so clearly, like you're like, okay, well, they're going to try and put it so that it's like all back to nature, and which sounds so lovely, but where do we go, right? And are we that bad for the land? And what's the agenda behind that? Let's squish you guys all into a city, then we can keep you there and govern you with your carbon ration, and then the land is, we can just take whatever resources we need. And like, it's, yeah, I think what the end game is pretty simple. But yeah, I think this is, and there's a water report too. I can send you a link to that. There's a full on water report. So there's the North Saskatchewan and the South Saskatchewan River report. And that's another overlaying governance board body that they are also layering into the plan. So it touches everywhere.
Well, this frustrates me so much that I'm going to unfriend everybody named Stewart now.
we don't that like could Stewart. Be a bad word.
Stewart. We don't like that word anymore.
Yeah.
That's it. No more Stewart. And they're normally redhead anyway, so we'll just unfriend them all. No, but in all seriousness, I'm going to have to digest this one, because I'm calling UNDRIP basically in my mind the glue, because it's gluing together a bunch of different pieces. Why are they coming after the guns? How are they going to take the land from farmers and homesteaders? How are they going to get us off this land? Like UNDRIP, it feels like it's gluing all of those questions together with the answer. which is UNDRIP. They're going to turn neighbors against neighbor. It's going to be South Africa around the entire world. And, you know, Australia may have pushed back a bit to those rebels, but that's a small group and that won't work everywhere. And I guarantee you, they're just going to double down and turn that around anyways. They're going to empower the indigenous, maybe give them weapons, maybe make it incentivize it for them to actually take up arms or something like that. They don't give up that easy. These globalists, no. If they're nothing, they're persistent. That much we know for sure.
Great.
Yeah, they are. So is there anything that you're going to get involved with without giving your location? Are you doing any other than media, which you're starting to do now? Are you getting groups together? Or are you going to go to your town halls and talk to them about it? I highly recommend you take a look at Maggie Hope Braun and what she's doing out east, because there might be some missing pieces there for you as well on how they're doing it on the municipal level.
Well, I've gone to the federal roundtables, and I just get dismissed, and he looks at me like I'm a crazy person and gaslights me.
Have you tried telling him that you're male, named Stuart, and then maybe he'll listen to you?
Yes, that's what I'm going to do.
I identify as a male named Stuart.
I'm going to get a t-shirt or a big sweatshirt made up with my name, Stewardship, and there we go. I'm Sustainable Stuart. I've been going to those, and the sad thing is, barely anybody comes, but they strategically make it so that the times are the worst. Like, people are at work, but I'm like, I will take the time and make it up later. This is important. And so I go, but it's usually a couple senior citizens. They have no idea what's going on. No diss to seniors, love them. But they don't know what's all kind of coming down. And so there's not very many people there. And so that's really sad. And then and it's numbers. We need numbers. We need people that actually understand what's going on. I rented a hall and invited some community members. I put it on our local Facebook page and I had 30 people come. So
did you open a meeting with the land acknowledgement?
I didn't.
Oh no. Well, it's not official now.
I know, but that's the other problem, is that it's actually it sets legal precedent when you include it into your bylaws. And that's my concern, is because when you write that in, and I've asked because they're trying to incorporate the Alberta Land Stewardship into it, but they're also incorporating the land acknowledgement. And as I went through the documentation, that is one of the strategic things in our Government of Canada's website that says, here's strategic wording to use it so it's non-confrontational for the land, to get the land back, right? And so that's concerning. Like they're guiding them how to make it. So if you put that land acknowledgement, and then fast forward, I don't know, 10 years, 5 years down the road, and you've got a whole new council and you got new people. So what do? You go back through old documents to see what is written in and what people agreed to. So I'm serving my council and any of the people involved in this with a Notice of Liability Act. And I'm going to say, if you do this and it negatively impacts me, now that would mean that the courts would have to agree that I've had harm done to me or whatever, and they'd have to be on our side, which I don't think they are, sadly. Okay, I'm sorry, senior citizen Priscilla. I love you, and I'm glad that you know what's going on. No diss to the seniors. Thank you for reading and caring. but the numbers, we need numbers. We need people to go to meetings. We need people to get talking to each other. We need the unity between the First Nation and people that live in the communities and talk about it in a non-confrontational way. And I don't know if that's possible anymore. I'm not sure. But
we were doing it today. So maybe people will hear this video and it'll get them excited to follow through and look into this some more. What I'm thinking is I got to get Maggie and I got to get Keith and you on another one of these so we can get even deeper about solutions and how we can get this awareness out. I think that's the three people that need to come together on this one for the next step.
Love it.
Yeah, and you're in Alberta, so maybe we'll do it in person or something with Keith. Go visit him, because I don't know exactly where in Alberta you are, but maybe it's worth traveling, because he's up near Edmonton, northwest of Edmonton.
Yeah, no, that would be good. But yeah, that's just, I don't know. People just need to talk to each other, need to start up conversation.
Go apply for those steward positions, get in there. Apply
for those stewardship positions. There you go. And then don't enforce. Just kidding.
Well, no, I'm not.
No. Yeah.
That might be one of the ways to fight back.
But that's the thing. Like, be transparent. Like, we need some town halls. We need to be discussing this, but that's the last thing they want. So I need to actually understand, like, how do you get your provincial, your provincial people to have a town hall, like in our area, like our provincial representative, how do I get him to actually have a town hall?
You don't, you just do one and invite him.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't show, then you let everybody know, hey, he was invited, but he's a no-show. Here's his seat. It's empty. This is where he would be. He was invited. And just keep doing that until they show up. Yeah, you have to put the seat there. Yeah, you have to put the seat there so people can see an empty seat. Because that was an invited seat. He's just not here.
Yep.
And then continue with your meeting. But don't start with your land acknowledgement, though. Don't do that.
No. Yeah. Well, but this is the thing. Like, I want the First Nation people to come out as well and talk about it, because, like, you know, I think the government's intentionally screwing them over with all of this as well. And
I think the bigger picture for them is it's going to turn everybody against them. It's going to turn into a battle. And I think they got to see that bigger picture. Like, yes, it might be playing some games now with the small details of it, but the big detail of it is it will be a bloody war. Why do anybody want to head that way? And they would see it that way too, because if they're getting a false promise that they can take the land through force, though they have to understand that it will be through force.
Yeah.
And it's also like
the other piece that
you're getting a bunch of pushback from our seniors, so maybe we'll backpedal that one a bit. They're paying attention and they're absorbing information. You just don't realize how much they're paying attention.
Well, I'll hang out with you.
Yeah. I love hanging out and going.
Yep, it's good. I would not avoid you like a leper. That last comment. I love talking to people. It's a good thing.
Hey, and she has a bit of an idea there. Maybe we go and continue to teach the seniors, who can then teach their kids, and it's not over. They can continue to pass that wisdom down. Maybe we need to utilize the resources of our seniors and their wisdom and get them to understand this, because they want to leave things before they go.
Right. Well, and that was the hardest thing for me, because my grandfather fought in the war in World War II, and he was 99 and he just passed, and he could see clearly what was coming. Mm-hmm. And he had a really hard time leaving us, and because he didn't want to leave us in the state that the world is in right now. And it was really hard for him. But I'm like, you know what? We got this. You did your part. Now it's our turn to do ours, and we need more people to kind of be willing to do that and care and pay attention and, just push back and actually not be afraid. Like, all of this hatred, these racism and the hatred strategies, like all of the stuff in the media right now, like, and they show all these hate crimes and sure, there's bad people out there that do crappy stuff, right? And but the strategy and the reason for that is to put these legislations in place so that we can't openly talk about this, because we're afraid to be called a racist, or we're afraid that we're invoking hate. And that's not what I want. I want what everybody else wants, and majority of the people want, and we want to live peaceful. We want to have great neighbors and we want to have food and a shelter. And, you know, it's just, we want the same things, but they try and make us feel like, you know, we're not united and we're different. And it's just, it's frustrating, like, cause we need unity right now more than anything. And, but you get called a racist or you get, and people are afraid like to say anything, right? Cause there's, you know, consequence, right? You'll lose your job or you'll get a fine or you'll get thrown in jail. And they're going for stricter and stricter penalties. Like, no, thank you.
Yeah. And one thing that we're realizing, one thing we're realizing on the show is we're transitioning from cancel culture to threat culture. So you don't even need to be canceled anymore. You just, in your own head, the idea of being threatened is enough to get you to conform and do what they want. Yeah, it's getting bad. Well, it's getting really bad.
It is getting bad. And you know what? And just to be, I'm putting it out there. So I, on LinkedIn today, so I have visibility based on, you know, I pay for it for work. So who's looking at my profile today on LinkedIn? Canadian Global Affairs Canada.
Oh.
Like, so it's stuff like that that is, and I try and share information out there. I was sitting in my hot tub one night and I was scrolling through and looking at different things that were going on and reading, and I sent a link to my boyfriend, and comes down and he's like, "What the heck did you try and send me?" And I'm like, "What do you mean?" Shows me the screen. It says, "We recommend you do not click on this link. This contains graphic sexual child abuse."
What? Oh, they flagged it as child porn.
Yeah. Oh, he's like, "What are you sending me?" I'm like, "You need to click the link. Like, this is what I sent you." And he's like, "This is actually getting scary." I'm like,
"Yes."
And that's like, it is scary, and they're threatening me like without. By like using technology, right? They're listening to everything we say.
Well, half my viewers are CSIS. They don't hit the like button, but they're here. and half joking about that one. A lot of people who are not my friend absolutely do listen to this show. Yeah. All right. Well, I was supposed to end off on a big bang, but now I've got a little bit more research to do, and yeah, I'm a little more concerned about my property now because they're going to come after the garden. They're going to come after the wells. They're going to tell me it's unsafe because of all the built up timber around me. And they're going to chase me away into an apartment building where I have no autonomy. Great. Thanks a lot for this weekend.
Welcome. You're welcome. Just to start your weekend on a positive note.
Yeah. The moose are a lot more free than I am. They can just walk over the fence. So they're all good. Stacey, I really appreciate you reaching out and being part of the show. I definitely want to follow up with Keith Wilson and Maggie Hope Braun and maybe a couple more people on this issue, because I really think we need to hit the gong on this one, get it really loud. I'm not sure the path forward, though. I'm really not sure the path forward. We need unity with all groups on this one, because we all have to understand and realize that if we don't, their end goal is we're killing each other on this one over land. And we all need land to survive. So this is quite the way to do it. This is quite the way
and
to
you
do
know
it.
What? Paula, you're right. Serena Freedom Bear. Awesome.
Oh,
I do communicate with Serena. And I've watched some of her content, and she is well aware of the harms that UNDRIP are gonna have on Indigenous people and the challenges. So yeah. Well, thank you. Very good.
No, very good. Yeah, and she's in BC, so she'll have quite the perspective there as well.
Oh, yeah.
Paula is kind of like the connoisseur, like matching the wine with the meat type of thing. She knows who should be talking to who. So, Paula, we'll get that going. All right, Stacey, let's go get on with our weekend while we have the freedom to do so.
Sounds good. Yeah, exactly. Good talking to you, and thank you for everything that you do. I really, really appreciate you and the voice that you guys have out there and the unity that you're trying to create. And I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks a lot for bringing this attention, this information to us. I was a little aloof on it. I didn't pay enough attention to it. I knew it was a subject I had to get to. all of them, ESG, SDG, ABC, like all of these things, LGB, like all of these are things we have to get into. So now UNDRIP is another one. I actually think that was by design, though, because this is sounds like it's the most important one, because this is the one that's going to take the land. And maybe it was designed to be out there, because all of their plans are out there, but not so much as a cheerleader out front on purpose. Maybe this right. is why LGBT and gender is in the headlines, where we're all focused on that while they take the land right behind us. Okay, I got to noodle this one, but thanks a lot, Stacey. You have yourself a great day. We didn't give your name out. We didn't give your location out. We don't know who your employer is, but we do know you have four children. So we'll be able to narrow it down. Right on. But do come back. You have yourself a great weekend. And take care of that book. It sounds like there's a lot of knowledge that you've collected in there.
Oh, yeah. No, it's good. Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks. Take care.
Take care.